Okay, good morning. Today's share is sponsored Lila Nishmas Ranya Bas Yeshua Binyamin and a Refu Shlema for Moshe Betzal Ben Chaya Esther Soksha Chal Yisrael. Okay, today, Bez Hashem, what I'd like to do, we're going to learn the Malacha of Gozes, and I do not want the Malacha of Gozes to take a full 45 minutes, so what was suggested, I think we mentioned last week, I'd like the last 10 or 15 minutes to just go through all of the Lamatas Malachos, the ones that we did Be'ion, we're not going to go into, but just to list them, and there are a few Malachos that are Negei a little bit, so just to go through all of them, and then we'll discuss what will be for next time, Bez Hashem. So today's Malacha will be the Malacha of Gozes, which means shearing, and obviously, like we said many times, every Malacha is based on what was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, shearing, S-H-E-A-R-I-N-G, Gozes is Gimel Vav Zayin Zayin. So they sheared the sheep for the wool, they used the wool for the curtains, and maybe they also used the hides, the skins. So the definition of Gozes, of shearing, is removing from the body of a person or an animal something that grows. So again, removing from the body of a person or an animal something that grows, such as hair, nails, skin. So that is the Malach of Gezes. This is usur even if you don't use the actual hair or the actual nail, perhaps Midiraisa, perhaps Midirabanan, but the actual taking it off is what is forbidden to do on Shabbos. If it is done in the normal manner, just to set up the malacha, if it's done in the normal manner, which means with the scissors, a nail clipper, a tweezers, some type of utensil, then it's forbidden midiraisa, it's forbidden by Torah law. If it's done in an abnormal way, with a person's teeth, or tearing with the hands, then it could be only midirabanan. Either way, it's not allowed to pull off skin, or hair, or nails or something like that. Either way, it'll be also either midiraisa, midirabanan. If it's done in the normal fashion, it would be midiraisa. If it's done in an abnormal fashion, it would be only midirabanan. There's going to be differences, as we will see shortly. So let's discuss hair first. It's also midiraisa, it's also by Torah law, to remove even one hair. If it's in a normal manner, it would be midiraisa, but the shear is even one hair from any part of the body, from the head, from the legs, from the eyebrows, facial hair, arms, nostrils, any part of the body is forbidden on Shabbos to remove one hair. Now, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the times of Beis Din, a person would only have to bring a Karban Chata, so they would only be killed by Beis Din if they removed two hairs. But even if a person does remove one hair, that is still forbidden by Torah law. It's something that we call Chatzi Shir. I don't think we've ever discussed that in this class at any point, but you don't have to write it down, but just very quickly what the concept is, that the shear, the amount to be chayev for an actual carbon or to be killed, that is two hairs. But we paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan, that chatzi shear is also min haTorah, something that's half of the shear, even though a person wouldn't be obligated to bring a carbon or wouldn't be killed by Beis Din, but it's still aser midairaisa. So to remove one hair is not allowed. Therefore, certain activities are not allowed because we assume that hair will be pulled out. Therefore, to start with this, the Shulchan Aruch says that a person is not allowed to comb or brush their hair on Shabbos with a comb or a brush that will for sure tear out hair. It's what we call a psik resha. If we know that using this brush or this comb in this manner will tear out hair, that is not allowed to be brushed on Shabbos. We've discussed many times the concept of davishen mischavin and a psik resha, which basically means, once again, that if something happens by mistake and it wasn't for sure going to happen, it just, you didn't have in mind for it to happen, that's what we call a davar she'eino mischaven. That is not a problem on Shabbos. If it's possible to open up a container or a bag without tearing any letters, and whoops, by mistake, some of the letters got torn, so that's not a problem. We paskin that that's mutter. But if it's something that's for sure going to happen, it's what we call a psik resha, that's for sure going to happen, then you're not allowed to do it. That in regards to opening packages and in regards to dragging a heavy bench across a dirt floor. Many situations where if something for sure is going to happen, then you're not allowed. Even if you have no intention for it to happen, but you know it's going to happen, so it's not allowed. Therefore, to brush a person's hair in that manner, that for sure something will be pulled out, is not allowed. The Ramah says you're allowed to scratch or set with your hands a person's hair. That's not considered a psik resha. You have to be careful that nothing comes out, but that, to scratch your head, that is not a problem. And of course, these are all very, very nageh, even for people who wear a sheitel. First of all, stam, they could be brushing their regular hair. It's nageh for your children. It's nageh for anyone listening on tonytime.com. I mean, it's obviously very nageh for combing your hair. The Mishnah Berurah actually brings how terrible it is that people take this very leniently. This is something that unfortunately you find people take very leniently on Shabbos. They go right ahead and they brush without hesitation. And the Mishnah Berurah is the Chofetz Chaim. He says that the Rabbanim should tell their communities that they have to be careful about it. They have to tell their community not to brush their hair. Usually I don't tell stories over here, but there is one story in my father's book. I'm not going to go through all the details of the story, but there is a story about somebody who needed a great Refuah Shalema, and they were in a very big Eis Tzara. And they were going to Radin, to the Chafetz Chaim, to get a bracha, and they happened to meet the Chafetz Chaim in the train station, and Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, that's Naim L'Torah, he was there at the same time, and he knew this individual, and he said, "You're in luck, the Chafetz Chaim is right here, come, let's go ask him for a bracha." And the man ran, and he asked him, he started crying to the Chafetz Chaim that he needs a bracha, and the Chafetz Chaim said to him, "You know, how am I supposed to help you if your daughter brushes her hair on Shabbos?" And Rav Zalman Sorotzkin said that Rav Chafetz Chaim never met this man, and he saw clearly the Ruach HaKodesh, and there was other details to the story, but the Chafetz Chaim told this person that, you know, said, "How could I help you? You get your daughter to stop." His son was also riding a car on Shabbos, so he said, "You get your son to stop riding a car, and you get your daughter to stop brushing her hair on Shabbos, then the Yeshua will come." So that just shows the severity of a person taking this halacha leniently. As a matter of fact, as a machlekes, whether a brush or a comb that will automatically pull out hair is such an object muksa on Shabbos. We discussed halachos of muksa. Anything that's a klisha malachta le'isser, that is considered muksa. You're allowed to move it and use it for permitted purposes, but that is considered muksa. There are those that say that it's not considered muksa because you could use it to brush a sheitel. So does that make it a klisha malachta le'heter, or does that just make it a klisha malachta le'isser that can be used as in a permitted fashion? Okay, that's a machlokes, but that just shows the severity. This is obviously all in situations where hair will be pulled out. There are certain situations where it is mutter to brush your hair on Shabbos. You need three conditions to be able to brush your hair on Shabbos. Number one, it needs to be very soft bristles. If the brush has soft bristles that'll give way when it meets resistance, that it won't pull out the knots. You know, a lot of hair have knots in it, or if it's some types of hair that are a little bit loose, that will automatically be pulled out. So if it has soft bristles, then we say it won't pull it out. So therefore, number one is has to have soft bristles. If it has hard bristles, then you can't use it whatsoever. But if the brush has soft bristles, you'd be allowed to use it on Shabbos. Number two is you need to brush softly. Even with a brush with soft bristles, if you do it very, very hard, that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. So number one, it has to have soft bristles. Number two, you have to brush softly. And number three, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should have a special brush like this set aside for Shabbos. Meaning, even if you happens to be you want to use a brush during the week that also has soft bristles, but you should not use that brush on Shabbos. You have to have a set brush for Shabbos, that this will be your Shabbos brush, because otherwise that's uvden d'chol. It's hard to classify and clarify uvden d'chol exactly. We've used it many times, but that needs to have a separate brush. Actually, the Shaar Tzion, which was also written by the Chafetz Chaim, but there is some merit to the fact he didn't write it in the Mishnah Berurah, but he did say on the bottom in the Shaar Tzion that that this kli has to be, I mean, he says it really shouldn't even be a brush. It should be some type of other kli, some other type of usage that you could find something else around the house that perhaps you could use to brush your hair. It shouldn't even be a brush, technically. Rav Moshe Feinstein says if it's hard to find such a kli, then you're allowed to use a brush. I think that's usually the minhag, that people have a set aside a brush that has soft bristles, and you go ahead and brush softly. Again, obviously with these three conditions, if a person knows that their brush pulls out hair, maybe they have a certain type of hair that they know it gets pulled out, or maybe their brush is not so soft and they think it's soft, but you know, the person behind the counter, you know, in the pharmacy said, "Oh, here, his one was soft bristles." But if a person knows that this comes out, it's not allowed, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says that a comb should never be used. A comb should never be used no matter what, even if the teeth are far apart from each other, but a comb should never be used. You need some type of brush with soft bristles that you brush softly, and it is set aside for Shabbos. A sheitel, We've discussed at various points throughout the past few weeks the halachas of combing sheitels on Shabbos. Gozes is not a problem when it comes to brushing a sheitel because it's not attached to the head. Maybe it used to be hair, but it's not attached to the original way at all, and therefore gozes, we say, is not a problem in regards to brushing a sheitel. We discussed malabin, we discussed seiser, pulling out hairs, other issues as far as brushing a sheitel, but gozes is not a problem. To remove nits on Shabbos, it's very hard to remove nits on Shabbos without, you have to be very careful not to pull out any hairs. I do not see why nits and lice should not be muksa. I would imagine they're muksa on Shabbos. I looked at many, many different svarim. I would imagine those are muksa anyways on Shabbos, but if you're able to remove it somehow, maybe tilta begufo that we discussed, but if a person can be careful moving your with your hands to remove the nits on Shabbos, then a person is able to technically remove it on Shabbos. As far as killing lice, we'll have to discuss that Bez Hashem when we discuss the malacha of Sheichet. If a married woman on Friday night needs to remove lice, whether it's a chatzitza or not, a person needs to ask a rav at that time. To use thick shampoos to remove lice on Shabbos, we discussed the malacha of Mimareach quite some time ago. A person has to be careful. If it's a thick shampoo, then anyways, that will be an issue of Mimareach, of smoothing out on Shabbos. It wouldn't be Mimachik, it would be Mimareach, it would be the Tolda, perhaps Midaraisa, perhaps Midarabanon, probably only Midarabanon, depends how thick the shampoo would be. Gum gets stuck in somebody's hair. It's very, very hard to get out gum on Shabbos without pulling out any hair. Because again, even if you have a davar she'eino mischaven, you don't have no intention of pulling out the hair. But if you know it's a psik reisha, that if you pull out the hair, pull out the gum, for sure it's going to pull out a hair, you do not be allowed to remove the hair, to remove the gum on Shabbos. Maybe you could use some oil, to make it smooth. Maybe that would help. To put ice on it, and then that makes it hard, and then be able to pull out the gum without removing any hair. Just be careful. You can't pull out an ear. It has to be a davar she'eino mischaven and not a psik reisha. Removing band-aids from a hairy part of the body. So if it's a very hairy part of the body, if a person has it on their arms, a man has it on their arms, so then that would be a psik reisha, and it would be considered goizes on Shabbos. It can't be removed. If a person really needs to remove the band-aid on Shabbos, maybe it's causing pain, or they need to put on a specific type of medicine, or also in regards to chatzitza, if it's beneath the hand for netilas yadayim, if it's any other part of the body, it would be chatzitza for Friday night, then preferably to ask a goy to remove it. If a person can't remove it through a goy, they don't have access to a goy to remove the band-aid, then Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you're allowed to remove it gently by yourself and carefully to try not to remove any hairs. There's ways to rely on, if it's for chatzitza and it really needs to be removed, then, there's heterim, there's kalachar yad, and there's makalkal, it's done with a shinui, and a psikresha, but lenichalei, I don't really care about it. So there's other combinations. Probably, I would imagine, a rav should be asked, should be consulted over here also for Friday night, if a band-aid, but definitely any band-aids should be removed before Shabbos. That is for hair on a human body. As far as hair for animals, obviously hair for animals are also not allowed to be removed on Shabbos. That's the way it was done in the Mishkan. It was hair on an animal. Even if the animal is dead already. So if it's a fur garment, if it's a fur garment, like on a coat or a hat or the gloves, on the inside of a glove, a person needs to be careful not to go ahead and pick that off of their garment on Shabbos. That's, it's part of the garment, part of the wool that was on the animal. They took it and they put it over there. So that cannot be removed on Shabbos. Also, you can't brush in a way that will definitely come off. Feathers from a bird. Also, feathers from a bird or from a chicken are also not allowed, whether it's dead or alive, are not allowed to be plucked on Shabbos. However, luckily, once it's cooked, then there are plenty of paiskim that say that it is allowed to be plucked on Shabbos. There are those that say not. If you have a piece of chicken on your plate on Shabbos, and it's pretty gross, but sometimes you see on the skin of the chicken there's some hair still left. So actually, there are those that say it's not allowed to be removed. However, you are allowed to rely on the paiskim that say you are allowed to remove those hairs on Shabbos. A couple of reasons. We say that once it's cooked, once the chicken was cooked, then it's very, very loose, and we say that it's already basically off already, so then you're allowed to pluck those hairs from the chicken on Shabbos. Another heter is that, which is the main heter we rely on, is that the hairs on the chicken on your plate, it's not considered a chicken anymore, it's considered food. So once it's considered food, then the malach of geizes does not apply anymore, and you'll be allowed to pluck those hairs from any feathers from the chicken that's on your plate. Also, as far as taking off the skin on Shabbos, as far as mafshit, that's one of the lamatas malachos, mafshit. Why are people allowed to take off the skin on Shabbos? Why is that not mafshit, which means skinning? We say also that's only by an animal, by the hides, but over here this is considered food and that's not a problem of mafshit. Of course, when you take off the skin from your chicken on Shabbos, you have to be careful with the malacha of bayir. The skin is tightly attached to the chicken. We discussed in our three classes on bayir, we discussed peels, and peels are considered bayir. How are we allowed to peel something on Shabbos? So we said that since that is the only way to do it, therefore that is considered derech achila. That's not considered bayir, that's just a normal way of removing. Over here, it's normal to remove the psoilus mitoch lechem, not just simply because, oh, there's no other way, so we'll let you do it. But, right, remember that since there's no other way, then we say that's not considered bayir, that is considered eating. That's just a normal way to do it. So over here, Moshe Feinstein says, as far as taking off the skin from the chicken, that is bayir, but it's not a problem of the three conditions, it's not a problem of psoilus mitoch lechem, because that is just the normal way to do it. But if you want to take off the skin of the chicken, it has to be with your hands. And then we said with your hands means with a fork or a knife, that's also considered with your hands. And it has to be immediately prior to the suda. It has to be right when you are eating. It has to be right before.
Feathers,
perhaps that would also be considered borer. That would be, well, over here also, you know, perhaps over there also. That's just the normal way to do it. Maybe that would also be not a problem with, I would imagine that would be a problem with. You'd have to I guess the only way to do it, if you're preparing it in the kitchen, you know, say it's miyad, it's right before, to pluck it. Not sure. Let me think about that more. Let me think about it more. Look into it more.
When you keep the skin, you just like notice as you're about to serve the chicken that like you didn't see one, and you just want to take it off.
Right. So yeah, I understand. Right, you're not gonna go leave all of them, you know, for Shabbos, but let me check it up again where I saw the Ramesha brought down. Let me check about the feathers itself. I don't know why I'm thinking that the feathers will be different than the skin. Skin is like a peel. I'm sorry? That's a different heter. That's a different heter. Perhaps that it's oichel and oichel. Okay, but I don't think I'm not working with that heter right now of oichel and oichel. The feathers, I'm assuming that even if the skin will be considered psoilus, let me look it up again as far as the feathers. I would imagine over here as far as the hair, you know, the hair will be the same as the feathers, and the place come telling us that that for bayer, let me think about it. I'll think about it. Yeah. Whoa.
Sorry, ponytail holders.
Ponytail holders, as far as taking it out. I would imagine if you take out the ponytail holder and you know that hair is going to be ripped out with it, then yeah, that's a psik resha. You have to, you know, you can't take that out on Shabbos. I don't see, it's a davar sheinu mischaven, 100%, but if it's a psik resha, it should not be taken out. Maybe for Shabbos, get the type of ponytail holder that you know, maybe it's new. I know if it's old, it gets, you know, tangled, and then there's other hair in it already, and then it gets attached to the other hair. I only have one daughter. But I would imagine, yeah, if it's a type of ponytail holder that you know, or like some type of clip that you know, every time you unclip it and you take it out, you know, for the sheitels, I don't know, you know, if that's a problem, but I know for girls, you know, for... Yeah. That's more of a type of clip, and it fastens in. Yeah, you have to be very careful about that. Those type of, you know, clips should not be used on Shabbos. If you know that when you take it out, hair is going to be pulled out. Yeah, only if it's a psik resha. Only if it's for sure going to happen. Yeah.
Banana clips. You know what those are?
I think so.
They
yeah,
are
that's
like
good.
Cold.
Right.
So those
right.
Should not be used at all.
Why?
It's combing. When you close.
That's not combing. A combing action, a combing act, is going combing like that. But if you just clip it in like that, and then you just open it and take
cold.
It out. It is a comb, but it's only if it's done in a combing manner. If when they close it and when they open it, no hair is going to come out, then it's not a problem. The Mishnah Berurah was saying that if you use a comb to comb, then it's not a problem. Okay, so you got to control yourself. So then, but that's not a problem. You have to control yourself, and yeah, if you have a tendency to do that, then maybe that would be your own personal thing to not, you know, not use that on Shabbos. But technically, you know, that would not be a problem. As far as nails, so same as until now, that the regular way to remove it is mederaisa. In the abnormal way, to bite it, biting it is considered abnormal. Is not allowed to be done on Shabbos midrabanan. Also filing nails, because tiny shavings are removed, that's also not allowed to be done. Anyone who has the habit of biting their nails on Shabbos has to be very careful. There is a case where we are lenient in regards to removing nails on Shabbos, and that's the following. Has to be a few conditions. If a nail became detached more than halfway, a nail already became detached more than halfway, and it is painful, and it is hurting a person, not just annoying, but it's painful, then you're allowed to bite or tear it off. Because again, biting or tearing it off is considered a shinui, that's the abnormal way. So if a combination of those three things, that it's more than halfway off, because this way it's like it's already off, and number two, it's painful, then you are allowed to remove it in a strange way. Not with a scissors or a nail clipper, but that the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have the combination, we were once talking about this, right? But maybe by the hair or by the skin or the nails. I think you had once asked me about that. But that if you have the combination of those three facts, that it's more than halfway off, and you remove it in a strange way when it's painful, that is allowed to be done on Shabbos. It seems from the Paiskim, the Kseisa Shulchan seems to say this, that when we say more than halfway off, we don't mean of the entire nail. We don't mean the entire nail. We mean the top. If you look at a picture in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, it's clear that that's the way he understood more than half of just the top part of the nail that we go ahead and cut off. So if more than half is removed, then you're allowed to take off the rest. An ingrown toenail, sorry?
Does that apply to the cuticle as well as the nail itself? You know, sometimes you have like on the side, you have something that's painful, and every time you...
If it's part of the nail, anything that's part of the nail. But it has to be part of the half of the whole width of the nail, of all across. No, so those things on the side.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Cuticles. Yes, that's a different thing.
No, so then I would imagine that would not be allowed.
What if it's, or would it be better to put a Band-Aid on it so that you don't need to pull it off?
Perhaps. You have to know how to put on a Band-Aid as far as Teifer is concerned. We discussed those halachas, you put it like that. But if it's painful, you're allowed to remove it. If, I don't know if the Band-Aid would prevent the pain. Maybe it would prevent the pain if you don't keep it, would have been moving around. Yeah, perhaps. If you could not take it off and do it like that instead. Yeah, you want to rely on the Paiskim that let you open up Band-Aids and let you tape the Band-Aids. Yeah, perhaps. You don't have to hesitate. If you don't want to do it, you're allowed to do it. An ingrown toenail, it's not mostly off already, so therefore it would not be allowed. If it's major litzar, if a person is in a lot of pain as far as an ingrown toenail, then perhaps a person could get a guy to do it. It can't be pulled off. Even if it's major litzar, it shouldn't be pulled off, but maybe a guy would be allowed to remove it. Also, in regards to a married woman, Friday night, if a person realizes Friday night, Ayvei, she forgot to cut her fingernails. So there's a few options. The Mishnah Berurah himself discusses this. The first option is to get a guy to cut it off with a shinui, which means that a guy would have to tear it off with their fingers or with their teeth. That's what we call a shvus to shvus b'maka mitzvah. We're not learning now the halachas of Amir la'akum. I'd love to do it one day. But that is option number one. Option number two, that the Mishnah Berurah says, if a guy is not able to do that or is not willing to do that, then a guy can do it with a scissors or a nail clipper to do with a kli. The Bir Halacha says that we have other combinations of Malacha Shin Tzvichel Gufa. A person will be allowed to do that, to get a guy to do it with a nail clipper. And number three, if a person does not have a guy to do that, then the Mishnah Berurah just says you should not go ahead and cut it, but you should just clean it very, very well and rely on that. Definitely a Rav should be consulted in such a situation. Obviously the best is to remove it before Shabbos, but we're talking about a situation where a person forgets. By toenails, it is much more lenient in regards to chatzitza is concerned. Definitely do not cut by a toenail on Shabbos. Just rely on cleaning it very well. That is as far as nails. In regards to skin, let's say a person has skin that is partially detached. So also, a person is not allowed... You had a question?
Yeah. When you try and clean your nails, don't you usually scrape off some of the nails? Is that just your problem?
I don't think so. I don't think a nail... It's not... You have no intention of scraping off the nail. And even if by mistake some of the nail gets scraped off, it wouldn't be a problem. Because it's a davar she'eino mischav. And I don't think it's a psik reisha that for sure it's going to get scraped off. If by mistake some of it gets scraped off, it's not a problem.
Yeah. In terms of a hangnail that we discussed that can be removed, can you do it for your child? If let's say your child has that?
It would be the same halachas. It would be the same halachas. As far as, because you're doing it to somebody else, the way in the Mishkan was, you did it to someone else, you did it to the animal. So the fact that it's somebody else, the fact that it's a child, and then maybe a child is considered a chayla, that you have to know. I don't think that would be in the gather of a chayla. Even by a child, we're much more lenient. I don't think, I would imagine, it would be the same halachos in regards to the child. Yeah.
What do you do if it will bleed? If you, you know,
oh, so okay, so very good. So when all these halachos, which we're about to discuss more right now, as far as we're going to discuss skin, all these cases, if you know that it's going to bleed, it's not allowed to be done on Shabbos. That's the malacha of sheichit, ha-sheichit, which gets involved in chayvel, which Bez Hashem will discuss after Pesach. But yeah, all these situations, if it's going to bleed, it's not allowed to be done on Shabbos, if you know it's going to bleed. As far as skin, we'll discuss the bleeding in a moment. As far as skin, if you have partially detached skin, that is not allowed to be removed on Shabbos. Also, dead skin, warts, blisters, boils, pimples, those are all not allowed to be removed on Shabbos. That's from a person, and it's something that grows. That is not allowed to be removed on Shabbos. If it's with a utensil, it's midaraisa. If it's with your hands, it is midarabanan. Biting off the skin from your lips, that is also midaraisa, because to bite it with your teeth, that is the normal manner. Right? So if a person has like some skin, a dry lips or whatever, and they skin you remove the skin from your lips, the normal manner is to do it with your fingers or with your teeth. It's not normal to use a kli. So therefore, in such a case, that is even forbidden midaraisa. A person has to be very careful not to remove that on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch does discuss, as far as skin, you know, right underneath the nails, as far as skin that's already halfway off, there is a case where there we can be lenient if it is already more than halfway off upwards. But the Shulchan Aruch says that we're not sure which direction is upwards. Is it upwards towards the edge of the fingers, or is it upwards towards the body? So since we're not sure which direction is considered upwards, we have to be strict both ways, and we have to always assume that it's not more than halfway upwards. If it's more than halfway both directions, then it's off. So obviously there's no situation like that. So since we don't know which way is considered upwards, so therefore even in a situation where you're in pain and things like that, and it's more than half off, by skin we say that you do not have such a leniency. So that you just have to be careful, and you wait until after Shabbos. A splinter can be removed if there is no blood. Obviously a splinter that you or a child or somebody else got on Shabbos is not part of the body, it didn't grow on the body, therefore it's allowed to be removed on Shabbos. But as you pointed out before, you have to make sure that it's not in the case where it's going to bleed. If you know for a fact it's going to bleed, then it's not allowed to be removed on Shabbos. Perhaps you'd be allowed to ask a goy. Maybe Bez Hashem, when we get more to Amir La'akum, we'll discuss as far as that. A loose tooth. Rav Vosner in the Shevet Alevi says that if the tooth is mostly out and it hurts, you know, it's just hanging off at the end. And again, like you pointed out, this is for yourself or for somebody else. If the tooth is mostly out and it's causing pain, then you are allowed to remove it as long as you know that it's not going to bleed. It's hard to know for a fact that it's not going to bleed. Maybe it won't bleed, but you can't really know that it's not going to bleed, unless maybe it's, you know, I don't even have to ask a dentist over here, or Mrs. Stern is not here today. But if you know it's 99% out, maybe you know it's not going to bleed. But if you know it's not going to bleed, then the Shevet Levi says you'd be allowed to remove it on Shabbos. A scab of a wound is allowed to be removed on Shabbos because the scab is not part of the body. It's just the dried blood that formed over there. So that is allowed to be removed on Shabbos. But once again, it could only be removed if you know for a fact it's not going to bleed. How do you know for a fact that it's not going to bleed? I'm not 100% sure. But again, even if it doesn't end up bleeding, so, you know, you lucked out. But to go ahead and remove it, as long as you don't know for sure that it's not going to bleed, that should not be removed on Shabbos. Okay, so that I think covers the malacha of gezeiz, what we need to know as far as the hair and the nails and the skin. And what I'd like to do now is, since we're going to Bez Hashem take a break from the Lamatas Malachos before Pesach, I want to do the since we spend so much time on malacha. So before last year Pesach, we had three classes on the malachos of Yontif. I'm sure you remember with the noodles back and forth. We were discussing that for a long time. But this time, what I'd like to do is the malachos of Chol HaMoed. I want to finish it in two classes. Maybe it'll take two and a half, but I want to finish in two classes the malachos, what's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed: laundry, taking pictures, writing, other malachos, and things like that, apple picking, and all halachas of Chol HaMoed. But up until then, Bez Hashem, we're going to be learning the halachas of brachos. I'm not sure if we'll finish all of brachos before we start Hilchos Chol HaMoed, we'll have to see, but we're going to start brachos, and then Bez Hashem, after Pesach, I'd like to get back a little bit to Lamatas Malachos. I'd like to do Tzad and Sheichit, maybe one or two others, we'll see. But just as a wrap up for now of the Lamatas Malachos, what we're going to do in the last 14 minutes is just to go through the Lamatas Malachos many of which we're not going to spend a lot of time on, and therefore just to teach it, just to translate it, and just to say one or two practical applications that applies by certain malachos. So, as we've said many times, it's based on what's done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the first 11 malachos are what we call Sidura de Pas, the order of the bread, which means that in the Mishkan they made the Lechem Apanim, which was placed on the Shulchan, and they had to be baked from scratch. So you had to bake the bread from scratch, and they had to, in the desert, they had to plant and bake the bread. This, of course, by the way, was a miracle to have in the desert, to have fertile soil that can be productive. Of course, that was a miracle in the desert, which is not a problem because we had many miracles, many nisim in the Midbar. So the first 11 are called the Sidur de Pas. Pas means bread. And this is the opinion of Rav Haigoin, that it's based on Yerushalmi, that this is for the Lechem Apanim. Rashi and others, they hold that it has to be, the Lametes Malachos have to be Nogeya to the actual Mishkan, not to the Lechem Apanim, which is not to do with the actual Mishkan, the actual building of the Mishkan. So Rashi and others say that it was done for the dyes, to make the dyes that the plant, the herbs, to, is that a phone? The dyes, to plant them, that to plant the herbs and everything, to make the dyes for the, to make the different colors for the curtains, that is where we get the first 11, but let's keep it simple since it's called Sidur de Pas for the Lechem Apanim. So number one is Zireya, that's planting. We had a 45-minute class on that. Number two is Chayresh, is plowing. We had a class on that. Koitzer is number three, harvesting. I apologize if I'm going fast, but these malachas we did already. Koitzer is harvesting and cutting. We discussed all of that. Anything to do with trees and using trees on Shabbos, we discussed by Chayresh, sweeping the floor. Zireya, flower pots. We had many having kiddushes outside in the backyard. We discussed all of those. Number four is ma'amer. Mem ayin, mem reish, which means to gather. Now, they have to gather the stalks for the bread. Now, we're not going to spend a whole class on ma'amer, which basically what it means is gathering two or more items that grow from the ground. To gather two or more items that grow from the ground. And the reason why we're not spending a class on this is because there are four exceptions to ma'amer, which basically cancel out almost all cases of ma'amer. Exception number one is ein ma'amer ela begedule karka. We only have the malach of ma'amer, of gathering, when it's something that grows from the ground. An apple tree, if you have an apple tree in your backyard and they fall to the floor, so anyways, they're muksa if they fell to the floor on Shabbos, because they were on the tree on Shabbos. But let's say they fell to the floor before Shabbos, so they're not muksa, perhaps. You gather, only if it's gedulei karka is the malacha of ma'amer, something that grows from the ground. Number two,
still attached to the ground.
That it's something that grows from the ground. It doesn't have to be, if it's still attached to the ground, then when you pick it off, then it's kaitzah. But even if it's detached from the ground now, since it is something that grew from the ground, that is the malacha of ma'amer. The second exception is that ma'amer is only b'mokom geduloi. It's only in the place where it grew. Meaning, so if you gather two or more apples from your fruit bin in the refrigerator, that's not ma'amer, because that's not where it grew. Number three is that there's no ma'amer after ma'amer. Meaning, once something was gathered once and then it spilled off onto the floor, you dropped the basket of apples all over the floor. So to gather it up again is not usar, at least mederaisa. Perhaps it's usar mederabanan, but that is not usar mederaisa. And number four is that it's only when it's in its original state. Only when it's in an original state, the apples the way it is, the oranges the way they are. If they were changed in any way, they're already cut up and they're already cooked and baked. Even if it's underneath the tree still, it's also not a problem. So all of these exceptions make ma'amer not so practical of a problem, for sure not on the derisa level, so therefore we are not going to spend the whole class on that. Number five is dush. Now dush means threshing, that they had to take out the grains or the kernels from inside the stalks. You'll think that we didn't spend a whole class on dush, but we really did, because when we learned quite some time ago the schita ba'eichem, squeezing out the grapes and the grapefruits and the lemons, we discussed all of those halachas. Those are all under the category of dush, which means taking out something from inside something else. So you're squeezing out the grapes and the grapefruits and the olives and all of that. So, and oranges and apples, we spent a whole class on that. Also, when we discussed malabin very recently, squeezing out hair, wet hair, that really is schita that's included in dush. Not so much schita that's included in malabin, that's really schita that's included in dush, to get something out from inside of something else.
From shells?
I'm sorry? It's not only from shells, it's taking out any.
Does this include nuts and shells?
There's actually a tremendous question. Why, when I open nuts, or when I peel anything, why is that an issue of bayer? Why is that not dush? So It's a very big question that from Zalman Orbach discusses. Anytime I peel something, so we discussed many times today even, that peeling falls into the category of beirer. Why doesn't it fall into the category of dash? Because you're taking out something from inside of something else. Fine. Bez Hashem. I don't know Bez Hashem, but we'll discuss it afterwards, what the answer is. Number six is Zaira, which means to winnow, to throw the chaff into the air, and the wind blows away all the bad stuff. Zaira, Zayin Vav Reish Hey. Number seven is Beirer. We had three classes on that. Number eight is Teichen. We had a whole class on that. And number nine is Meraki, to sift the flour using a sifter, to also to get out the bad items. The Gemara Meraki, Mem Reish Kuv Dalud, which means to sift. So the Gemara even asks, what's the difference between Zaira, Beirer, and Meraked? All of them are basically the same, that essentially you're getting out the bad items from the good items. So the Gemara says that there's a difference of how you do it. Zaira is specifically with the wind, and Meraked is specifically with a sifter, and Beirer is done, you know, with your hands. Okay, with your hands, you could, perhaps it could be permitted if you have all the conditions. But with a hand or with some other type of kli, that is Beirer. Number 10 is Lush, which means to knead the dough. We spent the whole class on Lush. And number 11 is Oife, or Bishel, which is cooking and baking. We spent eight classes on Bishel. That is the first 11. The next is the Seder of making the fabrics of the coverings of the Mishkan. The making the fabrics of the Mishkan, and that is the next bunch. I'm not sure how many, what number. It's seven. Number 12 is Geizes, that we discussed today, shearing the wool. Number 13 we discussed in the previous two classes is Malabin, to cleaning. After they shear the wool, they have to clean it. You'll be surprised as we go along. You'll know almost. You'll be surprised how many of the lamatas malachos you really do know. The ones that you don't know, you'll never heard of, and you won't even know what they mean. But the ones that you have heard of, you'll be surprised how many you've heard of. 13 is malabin, is cleaning. Number 14 is this you haven't heard of, menapets, which means to combing the wool, not to comb your hair, but to combing the wool. And if it was, the wool was all tangled, so they can't spin it if it's all tangled, so they had to comb the wool. There's actually a discussion by a shetel. If you comb a shetel, why is that not a problem of menapets? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that it's not a problem of menapets because you're not combing it out to spin it later. You're combing it out just to have it separated. But it's not a problem of menapets to comb a sheitel on Shabbos, but menapets means to comb the wool. Number 15 is tzeveya, to dye, to color. That we had a whole class on that. That was one of the first malachas we did. Tzeveya is to dye, to color, not to be confused with writing. That's as far as what you're writing. Coloring, specifically with coloring, we discussed making tea on Shabbos and coffee, and we discussed the toilet bowls with the blue stuff in the toilet bowl. We discussed the sunglasses that change in outside, and many other stuff. 16, Tevia, Taive, which means to spin, Tes, Vav, Vav, Hey, to spin, which means twisting into a thread or thin strands into yarn, spinning. We will not spend a separate class on spinning. 17 is Mesach, which means to warp. Now, what basically that means is, when you make a garment, so you have the threads going in one direction and you have the threads going in the other direction like that. So the first step is to make the other in a vertical and horizontal. So to make it one direction first, to set that up, that is Mesach. So that means warping, which means setting the threads up across. They have to go in perpendicular direction. So setting up the first way in the one direction, that is Mesach. So don't do that on Shabbos. 18.
Does that apply to braiding hair?
No, that doesn't apply to braiding hair. It could be the braiding hair could get into other malachos as far as Baina. Bez Hashem, if we discuss Baina, we'll discuss braiding hair. But as... Right, so a loom, so a kid's one, I don't know if that, they definitely don't have to stop the kids from doing it. Right, so pot holders really can be a problem. Making a pot, right, so making pot holders, this should not be done on Shabbat by adults. Number 18 is Oise Shnei Bate Nirin. That, I actually spent quite some time, a number of days, working on that malacha when I was in the Kail. Oise Shnei Bate Nirin, to make two, constructing two heddles. To make two heddles. So don't make heddles on Shabbos. Heddles is H-E-D-D-L-E. A heddle is when you send the fabric, the yarn, across and horizontal, vertical, has to go through a circle. There were two circles. There were a number of circles that they go through a circle all across, and then you use a machine to throw it across the fabric across the other way, and then they crisscross. But those circles are called heddles. That's actually machloek is what exactly this malacha is. That's one explanation in the Rishonim, that these two circles, and you send the fabric through these circles. So to make those circles, to make those loops on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make two of those loops on Shabbos. So don't do that on Shabbos.
Okay.
There's many pictures for them that have, you know, explained these malachas very well. Oireg is weaving. I'm sorry, not 7, it's 13. These for making the Oireg. Oireg is weaving. The actual crisscrossing, making the vertical and horizontal threads, that is Oireg, Aleph, Vav, Resh, Gimel. That is not allowed on Shabbos. Number 20 is Paitseya, which means unraveling. Well, Baitseya, there's different girsas, unraveling. So to detach the finished cloth from the loom and from that machine is, you know, to detach it, you have to detach it at the end. That is also a malacha. There's many different opinions. What exactly is this malacha? What it's referring to, that is one explanation. But to detach the finished cloth from the loom, that is also considered a malacha. Number 21 is kosher. 21 and 22 is kosher and matir. Tying and untying. That, of course, you have heard of. Tying bags, garbage bags. Perhaps I have notes on that. Maybe we'll do that one time. I'm not sure how much of it is so practically negaya, so I'm hesitant to spend the whole class on that. But 21 and 22 is kosher and matir. Of course, when they make the fabric, they have to actually tie it. They have to untie it also, because sometimes it gets messed up and you have to untie it to fix it. 23 is tofer, which means to sew. Tofer, tuf, vav, fei, resh, tofer. We discussed the whole class on that. Safety pins, gluing, taping, stapling, magnets. We discussed many issues in regards to tofer. 24 is kireya, tearing. That we had a whole class on. And that means tearing, opening up packages, and many situations where perhaps it's permitted, perhaps it's not, to do it in a destructive manner for a Shabbos use. Kireya is 24. So those 13 were for the curtain, so we had 11 for the pas, and now we have the next 13 are for the fabrics. The next 7 are for the hides of the animal, the skin of the animal itself, right? It's called the hide because the skin hides everything inside, and R is the hin. R is the hide and the skin. R is the same letters as iver, which means blind. Also, the skin hides what's inside a person. I heard once, that's why tsaras is on the skin, because a person said lashon hara about somebody else. You didn't see what was going on inside their body. You don't know what's going on in their head. You don't know what's going on inside their heart. So how could you say lashon hara about somebody? So that's why we have tsaras on the skin, because it's on the R, it's on the hide of the body, because it hides what's inside. That's Agav. I don't know why that's in my head. Fine. Number 25. On to the next 7 are for the hides. Number 25 is tsud. That's trapping the animal. Of course, the first step in getting the hides is you have to trap the animal. That Bez Hashem will discuss after Pesach. Number 26 is sheichet. That's the shecht. The animal, including in that, is, as you pointed out, anything making something to bleed or killing something, killing an animal, a bug, on Shabbos. That we'll have to discuss. Number 27 is mafshit. To skin the animal. Of course, the next step is to have to skin the animal. The Pesachim say that you're allowed to remove the piece of skin from the chicken, as we discussed before, because that's not really considered an animal anymore. That's just considered food, and therefore that is allowed. That's mafshit as far as skinning. Number 28 is ma'abed, mem ayin beis dalid. Ma'abed means to tan the animal, to preserve the hide that it won't perish. We don't want it to spoil, so to preserve it. So ma'abed is to tan the animal. So of course nobody here will tan a hide on Shabbos, but it is negeya to salting. Rashi explains that salting vegetables on Shabbos can be included in ma'abed, because salting also preserves it that it won't spoil. So I know you asked once to learn these halachos as far as salting vegetables on Shabbos. We discussed making salt water about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, before Pesach. We discussed making salt water for Pesach, because I think last year Pesach was on Shabbos. So we discussed very briefly as far as making salt water, but there's also an again to salting vegetables. We could do that maybe at one point. That is ma'abed. 29 is memachek, smoothing. Including in memachek is memareach, which is the tolda, which memareach also means smoothing. We had a whole 45-minute class on memachek and memareach, using shampoos and soap and bar soap and liquid soap and toothpaste and many situations of moisturizers and oils and things like that. We had a whole class on memachek. 30 is mesartate. Mesartate, mem sin, resh test, which means to score. What does it mean to score? That to make a line in something in order to be able to cut accurately afterwards. When they had to cut the hides, they made the scores in the hides to cut it accurately. Mesartate, mem, sin, resh, tes. To score. Number 31 is machatech. We're not going to spend the whole class on machatech. Mem, ches, tuf, chaf, and the chaf. Cutting to size. Now, cutting to size, we discussed a couple of times where we discussed toilet paper on Shabbos when a person's stuck in the bathroom and they realize they don't have tissues. So any perforated lines can get involved in mechatech. There's tissues and baby wipes that are connected, so a person needs to be careful as far as mechatech. Also opening soda bottles on Shabbos. Rabbi Yashav holds that's the problem of mechatech. Cutting down to size. Not kireya, tearing, but mechatech, which is cutting specifically to size. That is as far as the animals. That's just very quickly. The last eight are for the binyan itself. The actual building and construction of the actual Mishkan. 32 and 33 is kaisev and moichek, writing and erasing. When we discussed those, we had a class on Kosev and Meichik. We discussed where that was in the Mishkan, the Aleph and Beis on the Krushim. 34 and 35 is Boina and Soser, building and demolishing.
Soser.
Samach Vav Saf Reish, demolishing, because they had to travel in the Midbar. They traveled. They got up. Apiyo Shem Yachanu, Apiyo Shem Yiso. They traveled. They had to build it and they had to demolish it over and over again. Number 36 is Makkah B'Patish, which we discussed two classes on Makkah B'Patish, the final hammer blow. 37 and 38 is Mechabe and Mavir. Mechabe means to extinguish a flame, and 38 was Mavir, to kindle a flame. I don't think we're going to learn the Malach of 36 is Makkah B'Patish, the final hammer blow. 37 and 38 is Mechabe and Mavir. The reason why Mechabe...
Mavir is what?
Mavir is 38.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Mavir means to kindle a fire, to make a fire, not to make a fire on Shabbos, or raise a flame. Mechabe, the reason why extinguishing a fire is before Mavir is because in order to light something, it lights better if it's already lit once. If it's already lit once and then extinguished, so then when you try and light it again, it burns better. That's why the husband is supposed to, in the olden days at least for sure, supposed to light the Shabbos lit, because he's involved also, to light it and then blow it out. And this way, when the wife comes, it lights much better. The Chazon Ish didn't do that, because nowadays our candles light very easily anyway. Rabbi Victor Nevensal, the Rav of the Old City, says that it's even better not to. Not just you don't have to, but it's better not to, because it makes it worse. It's much easier if it just was never lit. Our wax candles or our oil, they light very well. But at least the husband should set up. Adlakas Neiros, it could be we discussed this already over the summer when we discussed Adlakas Neiros. Halachos, fine, that's 37 and 38. Most halachos of Mavir we're not going to discuss. It's many questions of Mavir as far as, you know, an elevator and Shabbos elevators and hearing aids and microphones. Those are all major questions that are not sewn again on a regular day-to-day basis, Shabbos to Shabbos basis. Number 39 is Haitza, which means carrying Dalar Amos and Rosh Hashanah, and taking out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Haitza, which means to carry and to take out on Shabbos. We're fortunate enough to live in a neighborhood with an Eruv, so we're not going to spend the class on Haitza, but it's very negay. You go to Lakewood, you go to Brooklyn, Bar Park, you go to different places, or you're stuck somewhere for Shabbos where you don't have an Eruv, and then you need to know, well, I'm wearing my watch, but my watch is broken. Am I allowed to wear it? I have a pin, I have a tag, but I left a tag, the cleaner's tag on my shirt, and many different situations, a bag over my sheitel, a bag over my hat. A person needs to know the halachos of Haitza on Shabbos, even if they live in a neighborhood with an Erev and they rely on an Erev. Okay, those are the Malachos. I apologize for going 4 minutes overtime. Those are the Lama Tes Malachos. Bez Hashem, next time we will start with the Malachos of Brachos.
Put it down.